I am planning on having a fun Monday today, okay? It's just going to be that way. I'm going to put the, well, Bobby McKillop is here, and I am going to put the stick so far into the beehive today that
what else is new?
It's going to be, we're going to have fun.
Welcome back, Killer, huh?
Welcome back, Killer. What do you want to start with?
You tell me.
Your show, we can talk about anything.
Can we?
Yeah.
Perfect. Love the weather. The weather's nice.
It's
turning.
It's like deceptive because it was so bright and sunny. I thought it's got to be 50 today minimum. And then it was still a little chilly.
A little chilly, but nice.
Yeah.
But not a cloud in the sky.
Did you golf?
No, I've not had the clubs in my hand yet. So
yes.
It's still not at that point.
We have a word for what you are these days.
I'm ready.
No, I can't say it on the air.
You know, Stuck, it's is that what that is? Did you hear that, honey? Did you hear that? That's a shot at you. He doesn't realize you're still in Texas. Anyway, no, it's so funny you and I are talking about this because my girl obviously is in Texas and she was down here last week and I was hoping so much that the man upstairs would just give me some half decent weather. Obviously, the Texas girl with the weather down there, I'd love her to be here, please. And it actually worked out. Last week was a half decent week, so today's a so. Let's talk nice about the weather because
okay, let's talk
she needs
nice,
to hear nice about the
nice
weather.
About the weather.
Isn't this a great place, Doc?
It is
great town.
I like it.
I love it.
Been here for over 20 years now.
I know it.
Tried to get away. Went down to Louisiana.
Yeah, I remember.
It wasn't as nice.
When you went to Louisville.
I did go to Louisville. Yeah. I did not like Louisville.
Yeah, different.
Yeah. Not my kind of city.
Different.
Not my kind of city. I enjoyed Louisiana better than I enjoyed Louisville, and there's a lot more stress in Louisiana because the one of the 36 owners of the hockey team walked out on opening
Which
night
team
with
was
half
that?
The budget. The Ice Pirates.
Oh, no way. The
Lake Charles Ice Pirates.
Yeah.
It's probably a few boys down there that you...
Oh, yeah.
Bumped into it's one time or another.
Small world, right?
Yeah. It was an interesting league.
Yeah.
Similar to, well, that would have been the UHL back in those days.
Right.
They were similar, but I found that a lot of the guys from the UHL that went down there really succeeded in those leagues.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of those guys that came up, not all of them, but they would struggle.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would struggle because it was a little bit different. Style that
Excuse
was playing.
Me. I've been under the weather, so I apologize. I might be.
You're always hacking, and here I'm going to put this by
yeah,
you.
Yeah, Kenya.
Perfect. To start.
I got a whole roll of toilet paper.
I'll give you one. Tampa Bay, Killer.
Yep.
6 games to go in the season.
Yep.
They've got everything locked up. There's nowhere for them to go. But with 6 games to go, if they win 5 of the 6, they're going to set the record. They're going to break the Red Wings' 62-win season, win 63 games. Is that important? Should they not worry about it? Should they be focusing just on the playoffs now? Or should they, when you're this close, should you just go for it and have the best season ever in the history of the league?
They shouldn't worry about it from a ultimate goal of winning the Stanley Cup. However, this is history, and I think any time you get a chance to be a part of history or set a record – I think you got to go for it, no matter whether it's a 300 win campaign where you're at the end of your career and you might throw your arm out. I mean, go for that three. Anytime you have a chance to do something special, I think you really. I can promise you this: it's not talked about in that room. It's not talked about from a we're not going to go for it. Everybody in that room is going for it. Is the management going for it? That's another discussion. Are they not playing players that are 50-50, or are they not playing players that are maybe 80-20? Are they giving guys a rest? Are they making plans to move forward as far as how their playoff schedule looks? I would assume so. If you are a good GM and if you are a good coach, those are the discussions you're having. But then in the back of your mind, you're also, this is what a year that was for the Wings. I didn't ever think I'd see it happen in today's hockey. For them to be on that pace and them to have that opportunity, looking at their schedule down the stretch, you've looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy.
No.
So, how much does that take out of you as a player? And I'm going to be honest with you, nothing. It takes nothing out of you. You are playing your game. Every game is played the same. If they were trying to get themselves in the playoffs, let's just say hypothetically, they were trying to get themselves in the playoffs, we'd be having a different discussion because that takes a lot of what Philly's trying to do right now is taking a ton out of them.
Because they're already playing playoff games.
Right. I mean, they've been playing playoff games for a month. Chicago's been playing playoff games for a month. And both those teams are kind of, you know, Philly's lost five of the last seven, but they were on a good streak there. Chicago's on a bit of a streak. They got a huge overtime win last night against Colorado. But you know, Tampa's just kind of being who they are. They're just, listen, they win. That's what they do, is they win. So as a player, definitely they want that. They want to be on that team that does that. As far as management goes, the ultimate goal is to win the Stanley Cup. I think they're kind of split on that.
Find it interesting because Montreal had the 60-win season, Scotty Bowman.
Oh.
Detroit wins 62, Scotty Bowman, Steve Yzerman on that team. And, of course, anytime you talk Tampa, we think Steve Yzerman, and we hope.
And again,
I hope.
And again, you know, when you take a look at this, and you and I don't have this conversation very often, but how much of a fingerprint does that team have of Steve Yzerman? It has his whole fingerprint.
Oh, yeah.
It has his whole palm print. The things that he did, Jonathan Drouin, the things that he did as a general manager draft-wise, the things that he did signing the guys that he did, able to keep Stamkos there. And Stamkos could have made a ton of money anywhere he wanted. Toronto was dying for him. Could have went back home. It says a lot about Stevie Wise. And you got to remember, too, people don't understand this. Listen, hockey players, yes, we're human. Don't get me wrong. We're human. Florida's nice. But hockey players want to play in a hockey market. The big-time players.
Yeah.
Jonathan Tavares
wanted to play in Toronto.
Is learning this year, after being how long he's in Long Island as a superstar, he's learning now what a superstar really means in Toronto. He's having his best year. And he is a super. He can't walk. He can't go anywhere in Toronto. Those guys want to do that. To be able to keep the guys that they've kept there in that market, that says a lot for Stevie Y.
Tale of two teams. You've led me up to it.
Here we go.
I like the setup. Tale of two teams. So we've got the Maple Leafs, who for a long time, you know, the Maple Laughs, the Maple Loafs,
1967 the Maple Leafs, stuck. 1967.
Just a franchise going in the wrong direction.
Yep.
In a market where it's unacceptable. And they made changes at coaches. They changed players. They changed management. They've changed more times than a burlesque show. And they're finally getting there. I mean, at least I think so. 44, 25, and 6, 94 points. And
not playing well.
And not playing well.
Not playing well.
But, you know, I'm going to look at some individual players here, because the Red Wings are just the opposite. The Red Wings were the model. They were what everybody else wanted to be for such a long time.
Before salary cap.
Before salary cap.
And before free agency.
And now they're going to miss the playoffs here. What is this? 2 or 3 years in a row?
Two.
I've lost
two.
Count.
Two.
Feels like seven.
It could be.
So let's compare some guys. I like Dylan Larkin.
I think
Dylan Larkin has really made big strides the last
Huge
two seasons
strides.
As an NHL player.
Huge.
And he is at this stage, head and shoulders, the best Detroit Red Wing, in my opinion.
Agreed. Both ends of the ice.
But let's compare Dylan Larkin to what Mitch Marner is doing.
Oof.
Similar players, leading. They're leading scorers, so I match them up. So Larkin, 27 goals, 36 assists, 63 points. Really good, but that's barely top 50 in National Hockey League scoring.
Correct.
To put it out there. Plus, minus 14. Mitch Marner in 75 games. Two less goals, but 62 assists, 87 points, plus 23.
How
do the Leafs get Mitch Marner to that point, and the Wings can't get Dylan Larkin to that point? I'll do all the numbers here, and then you can, chime in.
I'm going to cough away here, if you don't mind.
Yeah. I'm going to go now Austin Matthews with Anthony Mantha. And I get it. Matthews is probably a generational player. So, but still, Matthews has played 61 games. Mantha has played 60 games, because I got that argument. Mantha's number's down because he broke his hand and he missed some games. Matthews, 61 games, 35 goals, 68 points, 11 power play goals, only minus 5, so he's not killing him. He's not cheating to get his points. Mantha in 60 games, just 19 goals, and he just had two in the last game they played. Just 19 goals, just 35 points. He's got the number of points that Matthews has in goals. He's a minus 15, only 4 power play goals. How is Anthony Mantha's progress not getting better. He's actually getting worse instead of getting better. And unless I overestimated this young man's talent, this guy should be... Remember how Johan Franzen was the last time the Red Wings won the Cup? And how he just plowed through...
Dominant.
Colorado and dominant. Dallas and Pittsburgh.
The Mule,
and
dominant.
Did whatever he wanted.
Absolutely
and
dominant.
They didn't give him the MVP, but he should have been the MVP the last time the Wings... And he had that 2 or 3 year run before the concussions where he was just exceptional. Mantha should be our new Franzen from that era. And he's not. And then the other one that I want to... is because you mentioned free agency being a part of it. Jonathan Tavares, Leafs went for it, doled out a ton of money, 41 goals, 82 points, plus 19.
What a year.
And who'd we spend money on? Thomas Vanek, 36 points this year and a minus 12.
Are you done?
Do I need to say any more?
Well, that's in all fairness to those.
Because I can go on, because I could bring up defense and bring up
we don't want to go there.
Riley, who's got more points than the entire Red Wing defense combined.
We don't want to go there. But let's, and again, I apologize for, I've been really sick. But anyway, in their defense, those players' defense for the Wings. Listen, you only have success as a player as good as the people are around you. And unfortunately, the talent that Mitch Marner has, Austin Matthews has, Jonathan Tavares has on any given night is a lot different than what Mantha, Larkin, Vanek, any one of these guys has on any given night. The two power plays are two different worlds, talent-wise. You show me a power play that's struggling, I'll show you a team that doesn't have talent or players that are on the power play that aren't talented. So that being said, the numbers are going to be skewed. Obviously, the amount of wins that Toronto has, the plus-minuses are just going to be skewed for sure. However, here's where your argument kind of has some water in that, as you saw in the career, in you and I going down the road that we went year after year after year, I played on some bad teams. Your numbers can't fall. Even though you play on, you somehow, some way, you got to get to the 30 goal mark. Somehow, some way, you got to find a way to score X amount of power play goals. Some way, because you're on the ice. Playing with Paul Pulido a lot different than playing with Savo Mitrovic? Absolutely. Paul Pulido, Chris Bergeron, same. Finner, different. But again, the puck follows good hockey players. It just does. The puck follows good hockey players. I knew every single year I'd have a certain amount of goals before a certain time, and I ended up having some injury problems. The year I played with Chief, I scored 34, 35 goals. I missed 20-something games. Scored 45 the year before and had almost 100 minutes of penalties playing for a guy like Dave Cameron. Okay, so me as a player, I knew the puck is going to follow me around. I have to do my job. That's just what you know as a player. Okay, Anthony Mantha has the skill set to be an elite player in the National Hockey League. The guy that is really starting to show how your argument holds water is an Athanasiou.
Yeah.
He is proving on a bad hockey team, hey, Better watch out for me.
Yeah, I'm a special kind of talent. And finally, after how many seasons? What, we're into year four with this kid? This kid could have been doing this by year two.
And?
This kid should have been doing it by year two.
And they tried to bury him.
Yeah, they tried to bury him hard.
They almost didn't re-sign him 2 years ago. You remember that?
They double-dog dared him to go to Europe.
Double-dog dared him to go. And threatened to just keep him down in the minors. I mean, and again, Mantha's been down there forever. But, so, and Anthony Mantha will be the first person to tell you he's underachieving. He'll be the first one. Now, you take a look at Dylan Larkin. Dylan Larkin has literally, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, he literally has taken that team and said, hey, fellas, guess what? You don't see a C out here anywhere? I'm your captain. I'm your leader. Watch me on the ice. Watch me off the ice. Look at my work ethic on a day-to-day basis. Watch my game. Watch me dominate the face-off circle. Watch me play a 200-foot game. By the way, 200-foot game is both ends of the ice, offensively and defensively, and just kind of jump on my back. Where everything kind of goes sideways is the supporting cast. Marlow. Kapanen.
Janssen.
Kadri.
Janssen.
Nylander.
And he's having a bad year because he's sat
Zach out. Hyman.
Zach Hyman. A checker with 19 goals.
Zach Hyman. Okay. Helm. Advocator, Bannock, Nielsen. I mean, understand what we're talking about here. Riley. I mean, think about what we're talking about here. They go out and get a Muzzin. I mean, what are we really talking about here? It is going to be painful here for
Paul Woods tells me every night that they need to bring Cronwall back, that everything will be better if they bring Cronwall back.
Oh, my God.
Let's get Greeny another 5 years so that, you know, he can be on injured reserve. Anyways, we'll pick this up on the other side. I do have to take a break because we have blithered all the way down to the bottom of the hour.
Got to pay the bills.
This is what we do.
Got to pay for my donuts.
We just started talking. I wish we had some donuts, actually. Actually, I had a big lunch.
I'm on a diet.
I shouldn't be hungry.
I'm on a diet, brother.
Yeah, so am I.
Just started.
A seafood. I see it and I eat it.
That's been mine for 5 months.
We'll be right back, I promise. All right, welcome back. Dennis Stuckey Show with Bobby McKillop today on a Monday. Do you want to keep going on that last one, or have you said enough about the Leafs doing a better job grooming? Oh wait, that was me saying the Leafs do a better job. Everybody does a better job grooming their younger players than Detroit does. How's Adina doing this year? Going to win Rookie of the Year? Oh no, he's not. Oh, jeez,
boy, what a talent he is!
How's Hughes going to do next year when the Wings get him at number one and send him to Grand Rapids? He'll win American League Rookie of the Year.
People, I'm sorry, it just never ends.
No, they'll draft the European kid, and he'll go play in the KHL and never come over here.
What's his name, Yako?
Something
Yako,
like that.
Yako. Good hockey player, that boy.
That's what they say.
Listen, whoever gets one or two, it's a win-win.
And that's what's going to happen. They're going to get number three.
Yeah, so because they want to win hockey games. I mean, what team that's not making the playoffs? Okay, here comes a bad conversation. what team that's not making the playoffs goes out to Vegas and wins?
Yeah.
I mean, that play.
It's a perfect excuse to have a fun trip and a night off.
Oh. I can only imagine if I was on that plane. The back of the plane, we would have had blackjack, Texas Hold'em. We'd have been preparing for what's coming. Everybody on that plane would have known what's coming. The suits that would have been worn on that trip.
That would have been a great trip to bring the dads on.
No.
Yeah.
Just no.
Go out and do it up all night.
No.
You don't want to win the game.
Well, we don't need the dads there. We'd be fine on our own. You got to remember, we're in Vegas.
Yeah, whatever.
We're multi-million-dollar athletes. We're not making the playoffs. The blackjack table or the Texas Hold'em table I would have been at till 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning. Trying to double up my money.
True committed athlete that you are.
Well, I mean, we're not making the playoffs. We're not making the playoffs. I mean, and they go out there and you know, they're 2-0 in Vegas. What non-playoff team's 2-0 in Vegas?
That's right. They won their big last year, didn't they?
Oh,
that's why Vegas took Tatar, because I think Tatar had 2 or 3 goals out there last year. They won it like 6-3 or something like that.
You know what? He's not having a bad year in Montreal.
He's not. All right.
He's not. He's a productive guy for them. I think he likes it there.
I scratch my head and I wonder about stuff.
Really?
I do.
What stuff, Dennis?
All right, well, look at Montreal. Everything that Montreal did, we all went like, what? Huh?
They shouldn't be where they're at. They shouldn't be where they're at.
You traded Galchenyuk?
They shouldn't be where they're at.
For Domi and Tatar?
They shouldn't be where they're at.
And you drafted the Finnish kid, the center?
Yeah.
Instead of Zadina?
Yeah.
What are you guys doing?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what they're doing. You traded PK Subban? What they did was they got a healthy Carey Price back this year.
Which is huge.
Which is really huge.
You have the best.
And Gallagher's playing out of his mind.
Out of his mind for a little guy. It's unbelievable to watch.
They traded Desharnais.
I know.
It's like, what are you guys doing over there? Apparently they know what they're doing better than the rest of us.
Well, they're trying to make playoffs.
Yeah. And they've got a really good chance. In fact, they're ahead of Columbus. I'd actually like to see Montreal get in instead of Columbus.
Do you know what's going to happen to Columbus if they don't get in?
It should be happening already.
You want to talk about a team that went all in?
Oh, I know. I know.
And they don't make the playoffs?
They are. they're the new Washington, to be honest about it.
Oh, no question.
You know, because or the new St. Louis. It's like,
no question.
You know, how can you guys be this good and you can't get out of the first round of the playoffs?
No question.
They can.
No question.
Yeah, how can you be up? What were they up? 2-0 on Washington and in overtime on home ice?
Yeah.
and they lose that series.
Yeah, but they went all in. They went all in.
But that's a franchise that confuses me because, you know, oh, let's trade Panarin. Let's trade Bobrovsky. Let's get rid of the guys that can help us win.
They didn't.
Well, because the market didn't work out for them, but.
Sorry, I apologize, people.
No, that's all right.
I've been yucky. Anyway.
If they don't get in, is there a coaching change? Oh, they got to do something.
Absolutely. Unequivocally. Done. No matter what they think of them, listen, coaches are hired to be fired. 6 years in a place is a long time in the National Hockey League. Babcock was here for 10+. He made a decision leaving only because of the success that they had. Scotty Bowman was fired 8 or 9 times. That's just the way it goes. It's not a reflection on him. It's a reflection on lack of success, and it's just time for change. One of the best coaches in the National Hockey League, Joel Quenneville, is sitting at home laughing right now. He's going to sign a $35 to $50 million contract wherever he ends up. Is it Seattle? Possibly. They're talking about that.
I think he's going to go to Edmonton. I think he's a good fit in Edmonton.
Oh boy, but they just don't look good.
But I think he's the guy that might be able to get that going. I mean,
I don't know. You've got McDavid,
so that's a pretty good starting place.
And Draisaitl.
I like Nurse.
I love Darnell Nurse. Listen,
I thought Talbot was the answer in goal, but obviously that didn't work out for him.
And listen, RNA's not Ryan Nugent Hopkins is. I mean, he's doing pretty good. I mean, he's a good hockey player too. They have pieces of the puzzle. But then I watch a guy like Lucic. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean,
he's not. Everybody's looking at him thinking he's the guy that was in Boston. He's not the guy that was
because he doesn't have the guys.
He wasn't that guy in L.A. He's not that guy anymore.
No, I agree. I mean, those type of players are few and far between today. But listen, if I'm Joel Quenneville, I'm taking a look this summer, not even this summer. It's going to start here in the next couple weeks, what jobs are available. And I want to take over a team because I'm at the end of my coaching career. This will be the last team I coach. I'm not going to play the Ken Hitchcock ball. I'm going to be with my family. I'm going to take my millions of dollars and I'm going to ride off into the sunset and enjoy my life, if he's smart. So knowing this is going to be my last run at it, kind of takes Seattle out of the mix. However, there is talk that you know, him and Dave Tippett are buddies, I guess. And I still think Dave Tippett's going to try and put his name in there. He's the guy that's kind of the hockey guy up there.
To me, it's kind of interesting because let's just say in a great world, Holland goes to Seattle.
Oh, my God.
I don't think he wants a Quenneville.
I don't think he does either.
That's too much button heads. He's going to go with a young guy. Or a guy that he knows that he can push around.
Again, where Kenny ends up, I'm not sure. I don't think he's done.
No, he's not done.
I don't think he's done. I think he wants to take.
He's got enough of them out there fooled that he'll get a job somewhere, or he'll stay in Detroit till he dies.
But if I'm Quenneville, I want, knowing that this is my last run, I'm going to take a look at what jobs are available and what teams have a core nucleus that see that they just need me. Take a look at the Islanders and what Trotz doing this year. I mean, I'm sure, you got to remember, Barry Trotz, the reason why Barry Trotz is not with Washington, and by the way, he announced it the day after they won the cup when he was leaving. The reason why he's not is because going into the playoffs, listen, everybody forgets, Washington had a tumultuous year last year. It was an up-and-down year for them. They started Grubauer. They started their backup goaltender in the playoffs, and Holtby ended up taking them to the promised land. And, I mean, there was a bunch of stuff going on there. They were underachieving. They weren't the President's Trophy winners like in years past. And they found a way to get it done. And the reason why Barry Trotz, who had great success everywhere he's been, is because they wouldn't give him an extension. And he made the decision when he went, that's fine. I don't care what happens this year. I'm not coming back. You don't value me as a coach. This is what I've done for you. By the way, he's got one of the best records in Washington coaching history, percentage-wise. And so then the day after the season ends, Lou Lamoriello, who I don't know why he left Toronto as a GM, said he was done. Probably the same thing. Probably him and Shanahan, the president, kind of button heads a little bit about philosophies and whatnot. And then Lou Lamoriello makes one phone call. Hey, Barry, I think we have a team that can compete here. They were dying to keep Tavares. Didn't happen. But look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. So is a Joel Quenneville in that mode? Absolutely he is, in my opinion. Well, who are those teams? I don't know. Is it a Columbus? Is it a Columbus? Does he want to go to that type of market?
Well, I'm, you know, I got to see what Columbus does, because if you miss the playoffs in June, are you at the draft trying to trade Panarin and Bobrovsky?
Yeah, prior to.
And if you win, let's say you get in and you win the Stanley Cup this year, are you at the draft in June trying to trade Panarin and Bobrovsky?
I believe you are. I believe
so.
You are.
Either way they go, their two best guys are going. So if I'm a Columbus fan, they better get in and they better win the Stanley Cup.
That's my point. Because you imagine if they don't. You imagine if they don't get in. I mean, you and I are having a conversation about the Detroit Red Wings right now. Imagine if Columbus doesn't get in. With the moves that they made, the amount of money that they have on the table, with the players that they brought in, knowing Bobrovsky and Panarin, their two studs, are on their way out no matter what. You can't backtrack from the conversations you've already had. Panarin made it very well known. He is going to, which is why he did it before the trade deadline. He did it 3 weeks before the trade deadline to go, hey, I'm just letting you know, I'm going to test my market. You can't backtrack for those conversations, because you imagine if they don't get in. Wow.
So anyways, go Montreal, because I got no love lost for Columbus in any sport. Even if they're the Blue Jackets and not the Buckeyes.
Oh, dude. Well, at least Ohio State lost last night to Houston.
So. You weren't with us when the Columbus Stars were in the league.
No.
That was the Beacons. That was the year, I think, after you played.
Yep.
I heard about that. The old Columbus Stars. They were in first place when they folded.
Yeah, I heard about
that. Like 30 games into the season. They had I forget who the coach was, but he had come from the East Coast Hockey League, and they basically had an East Coast Hockey League team.
Who was it? You don't remember the coach?
I don't remember.
What rink did they play out of?
That was what I was when it was coming to. They played at the fairgrounds, the Columbus Fairgrounds, and it looked like an old airplane hangar, like from a crop duster airplane, and it had the chicken wire around the press box.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did. It was all dusty, like they did rodeo shows in it.
I'm sure they do.
And they put the
fairgrounds.
They put the ice down.
How many people did it hold?
It was terrible. Probably full. It could fit maybe 2,000 people, and they'd get about 37.
Yeah, you can't survive.
Yeah, so it was bad. We'd go there one night, and the guy would say in advance, he's like, I'm sorry, but if you have anything that needs a phone hookup, our phones were turned off last week, and they're not getting turned back on.
So you couldn't even broadcast the games?
We did it back then on a cell device.
On a wire?
Yeah.
Oh, so. Wow. Interesting. I'm glad I missed that part.
It was fun times, but on the ice, they had a really good team, but there was just nobody there to watch it.
And yeah, I'm glad I missed all that. I don't miss that stuff.
Yeah. And I remember when they did the rescheduling, because, you know, Port Huron always gets the best of everything, right? Like, we ended up having to make extra trips out to Richmond and extra trips to Quad City, whereas, you know, the better teams, they got extra home games.
Yeah, not us.
Kalamazoo, they got four extra home games.
Yeah,
Fort Wayne, they get 18 straight at home.
We weren't well-liked. We were not well-liked. We were not well-liked in
that league,
for sure.
All right, got to take another break, but we still got another hour of this, so hang in there. Starring Bobby McKillop today. Our special guest appearance, I don't know how that would work out. Anyways, good to see you again. It's been a while.
Has been a while.
I did coax you into calling in for a few minutes, last week?
Yeah, and I was...
And then I've been pretty much badgering you every day since.
Well, I did plan on coming in last week. Obviously, I had a friend of mine in from out of town. My girl was in from Texas. By the way, she's in Lubbock. And wouldn't it just so happen that U of M and Texas Tech are going up against each other? So I'm very familiar with the Red Raiders down in Texas Tech.
They're pretty tough.
Boy, are they ever tough. And what a great town that is. They love their Red Raiders. Great football facility there. I hung out right across from the stadium quite a few times at a place where she was working. And, boy, they love it. They love when Texas Tech is on. You know, it's funny. You know, West Virginia came in there. Bob Huggins came in there one night. And him and a couple of his assistants they got in late the night before. You know how you and I used to do. People don't understand this. So West Virginia comes in late the night before. They were supposed to have a team meal at the posh hotel, the Overton, there in Texas, in Lubbock. And so you know, she had to get set it up for them to be later, and then they wanted to hang out at the bar and da 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 da. And they got absolutely blown out by 35 or 40 points. And this just goes to show you, you know, how you know, women think on this level, right? So she says to me, listen. So this is what she says to me. This was awesome. She says, you know, I said, man, did they ever get blown out? Well, what would you expect? They got in late. I'm like, honey, it doesn't work that way. Whether you get in at 4 in the morning or whatever, you know how many times I show up at 5? Right, you get in late every time. Well, wouldn't you know it, in the tournament, not the March Madness tournament, but in their conference tournament, West Virginia beat Texas Tech. And I was telling her, you know, the guys that were sitting at your bar there, the assistant coaches in this Bob Huggins, he's legendary. I'm sure he wasn't happy because they came in the next night just pouting and grumping and whole nine yards. But so here we are, you know, me Michigan, her Texas. However, I did get her Michigan shirt while she was here. So she could proudly wear her Michigan shirt while she was down there. I have Texas Tech stuff from when I was down there.
That's not happening.
But I mean, but again, this is a huge game. I think if there's a test, and you and I called it, I think Texas Tech, obviously I'm very familiar with them because of the 6 degrees of separations with what I got going on down in Texas. So listen, this is a tough team. They're good on the inside and they're good on the outside. They got shooting guards and they don't fool around. They like to run.
And they've got a lottery pick on their team. So,
oh boy, did they ever. So, I mean, you know.
So, yeah, I almost think that this is a tougher game than should Michigan win. And I'm not saying that they will, but should Michigan win, I actually think beating Texas Tech is more of an accomplishment than if they were to beat Gonzaga.
I agree.
And get to the Final Four.
Listen, I think Texas Tech has shown all year long that they're a team to be reckoned with, that they're a team, a national contending team. And I think they're going to be up against it. I think Michigan, who thrives on the three ball, if their three ball is not going, look out. Obviously, their inside game is huge with the big boy in the middle. But listen, this is an athletic team they're playing. You haven't heard much of Texas Tech. Yes, Bobby Knight was there for years, and that's really all you know about Texas Tech. Listen, these boys can play. These boys can flat out play, and they're going to try and outrun you, and defensively, they're going to confuse you. So if you're thinking this is, you know, if you're looking past Texas Tech and you're thinking, wow, we're playing this Texas Tech team, you better be ready to go.
You know, I have been to Lubbock, and I can't remember the name of the team that was there.
I want to say Cottonmouths.
There was a Cottonmouths in that league.
Was it that?
I went to all of those places. I went to Lubbock. I went to Amarillo. I went to El Paso. Ugh. I saw more of Texas that season than I really wanted to, from Corpus Christi to wherever.
I'll look it up.
Maybe they were the. Anyways, we went there and we lost. We lost everywhere we went.
So you're in. Were you in? Where were you?
That was the Western Professional Hockey League.
With which team?
Lake Charles.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That was in that league. Who was coaching that team?
Actually it was, Bob Mantha was our head coach.
It's a WPHL, right?
Yeah.
I think it was a Cottonmouths. Sorry, Cotton Kings.
Cotton Kings. Lubbock Cotton Kings.
Well, it's a good thing that they still aren't around, or I would be in Texas. I would be growing roots in Lubbock. So it's a good thing that hockey is not around where, you know, Texas Tech did have a club team. You know who actually used to coach them? Guy that used to, Ferroni?
Paul Ferroni?
Paul Ferroni.
Tough guy.
Paul Ferroni actually.
Paul Ferroni played here in Port Huron. Paul Ferroni was a living legend in Lake Charles because he went from Lake Charles the year before I got there. He was a hero down there because he could play as well as fight. And then he had just gone up to Port Huron to play.
So he was actually named. I was looking up if there's hockey down there when I was in my state of, you know, man, I might be heading to Texas here. And then there's great weather. If there's some hockey down there, whatever. Just kind of
a lot of hockey in the Dallas area.
And I looked at all that. A couple of my buddies that I played with in the minors have a couple really good programs going that they started right from scratch. Same with my guys in San Diego. I was looking at all my options. I was looking at San Diego. I was looking all over. And they've started these programs from scratch. And, yeah, I mean, you know, Butchie and Carson Cable got a great program going in Dallas, and I looked at that. And, you know, obviously, you know, when you have that kind of blank canvas mentality, I mean, I would have gone there, would have started on the ground floor and seen what I could have done. But there was definitely some options. It's beautiful down there. I got a chance to travel a lot down there while I was there. I drove to Dallas. Obviously, one time I actually drove down there, so I got to drive all the way up through. It's beautiful there.
Where did I see them play? Where did I see Butch and Carson Cable play? Were they in Quad City?
Yep.
Or did I see them in a different league?
Nope, you saw them in Quad.
I knew I'd seen them play. As soon as you said the names, I said, I've seen those guys play.
Yep, good hockey players. Both understood the game really well.
I have to say this because you were telling the story about getting in late. So, and I have to set the people straight on this. Because this is when Killer says, yeah, you know, you remember Stuck. We used to get in late. Yeah, I remember. I remember pulling up.
Here we go, everybody.
To the hotel at 4 a.m.
And me getting off.
And the players getting off the bus and going in and getting checked in and going up to their rooms and snuggling up in bed while the radio play-by-play guy and Brock Miles and Jason Wood.
Brock Miles, Stanley Cup champion Brock Miles.
Stanley Cup champion Brock Miles and Jason Wood and even Kevin Devine would get back on the bus with us and Bussy would be there. I think it was Dave back then.
Oh, remember Dave?
Dave was a great guy. And we'd drive over to the rink and unpack your stinking bags so that they'd be nice and dry for you the next day when you go out on the ice and tank it in Quad City or wherever we were.
So people don't understand. Obviously, when you're in the minors, your schedule stinks. So literally, we would come into some of these places at 3, 4, 5 in the morning. Obviously, you didn't have to, but you did. Helped our equipment staff out. And what ends up happening as a pro player is the rink waits for you to get there in the middle of the night because you're going to pregame skate in the morning. Meaning, you know, you play that night at 7:30 or whatever. So you got ice. The home team usually goes on at 10. We went on at 11. So, you know, the training staff and Stock, who didn't have to, the radio guys, but they would go to the rink would wait, and then we would have all our stuff from the night before. Remember, it is soaking wet. I just played 22 minutes in a game. My stuff is soaked. It reeks. It's terrible. And these guys, you and everybody else, would hang our stuff up so it can dry, so when we get there in the morning, we have dry equipment. Meanwhile, we're in the hotel room sleeping. Don't think for not one guy.
And Brock. Like, we'd leave.
And Brock would stay.
He'd sleep in the locker room.
Because he's doing
stuff needed to be washed, if skates needed to be sharpened, whatever needed to be done. And he'd set that room up so that it was spick and span when you guys
got there. So we'd get there in the morning, and it would look like pristine. Meanwhile, not one guy, as they're sleeping, you know, with their head on the pillow, you know, dreaming about who knows what, it never even entered their mind. It's just, it just miraculously happened this way. And then sure enough, especially in Quad City, boy, did we stink. Oh, we stunk it up in that building. I have nightmares listening to that bell going off.
Quad City Mallards. 10,000.
10,000 people.
Hear that nine times again.
10,000 people. Hugo Prue, Glenn Stewart, Gary Goulash. I mean, these guys were light. I mean, Mikey Milosh. These guys were lighting it up. Oh, it was terrible playing in that building. Ugh. I mean, it's a great building atmosphere to play in, but that bell going off, and then of course the infamous when we're on the bus, Kevin Butt, great guy. We can tell this story. Kevin Butt, great guy. Dave Kerman, National Hockey League coach that I played for. Dave Kerman's at the front of the bus. We just got torched. I mean, torch 7-1, 7-2. I'm at the back of the bus. There's no movies being played. There's no cards. There's no nothing. And here Buttsy is right just behind Dave Cameron, four seats behind Dave Cameron. And he met some people. I guess he was in Wisconsin hunting or something. He met some people. He played someplace else.
In Quad City.
I think these were his
booster family.
Okay, so his booster family
for the Mallards.
Is bringing him photos of when they were hunting together. And he is quietly trying to show somebody that cares. Who would care? I don't know. But he's quietly trying to show a rookie up front near Coach Cameron the pictures. And by the way, he was a starting goaltender in our torching.
Yeah, I think the final was 9-4.
Okay, and I think he saw all nine. I don't think he got pulled.
No.
Okay, which is a sign from your coach that he doesn't like you. But anyway, because you're not doing that to anybody unless you're Patrick Roy.
Because Igor had just joined us and he hadn't even practiced.
Oh, that's true. I remember that. anyway, I apologize.
Because Buttsy got himself thrown out immediately the next night.
Oh, I remember that. So here's Buttsy quietly. There's like four lights on in the whole bus, and he's one of them. And Cameron is completely dark. You guys are dark ahead of him, say 8 feet in front of him.
I was being very quiet that night.
What else are you going to say? Cam, listen, when things didn't go well for Cam, it was a bad, our practices were bad, our week was bad. Anyway, so I'm sitting there, I can kind of see a conversation happening, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Cam stands up, Dave Cameron from Eastern Canada, has this voice, says, Buttsy, why don't you start showing pictures of you making a save? It wasn't said just like that. If you've seen Slapshot, yeah, there's a lot of words that came into that. But I'm
bleep those out.
I was at the back. I had the biggest chuckle to myself because his face was priceless. Because I got to see Cam's face as he said it, and then I got to see Buttsy's face as Cam said it. Buttsy's face was like, it was priceless. Anyway. Yeah, we could tell stories all day long.
There were some good trips out there. Yeah, and then that was the next night, that the first minute of the game, Buttsy just decides to blocker somebody in the head.
Do you remember that?
Starts a line brawl. We were in quads. It starts a line brawl, and we had the extra guys thrown out. See, there's more to this story. So Igor Karpenko just came over from, he was in the Ukraine, and he went to Vegas. And Vegas sent him to us.
Yep.
And he ended up spending the rest of the season with us. And so we knew he spoke more English than he let on. But he's over there acting like he couldn't talk English. He couldn't
speak a word English.
Hasn't even been with the team for, we picked him up at the airport, and the bus ride to Quad City was the first he'd met anybody, and he didn't talk to anybody because he pretended that he couldn't talk. He
couldn't speak English until we got to New York, and he said...
Yeah, and then he saw a pretty girl. Yeah,
booby. We go out? We go out here? I'm like, I thought you couldn't speak English. Killer. We go out? Oh, you can't speak English? You go, shh. Anyway. All right, keep going.
So big brawl. They get like four guys thrown out. We get like six guys thrown out.
Yeah.
Including Blummer, who then comes up to the booth,
which was a mistake.
Throws on a headset and says, "Wade, yours a puke."
Right.
So, anyways, game goes to shootout.
Yeah, I remember this.
Game goes to shootout.
Do you know who the coach was for the opposing team? Because I remember him yelling his head off.
Yeah, that was Anderson,
John Anderson,
and he went bonkers.
Bonkers.
Because we go through. It's the longest at that time. It was the longest shootout ever in the history of shootout. It's
correct.
Since been broken, but
correct.
So we go. We got like 14 guys, and they've got like 15.
And the 15th guy was Pascual Dupuy.
Boulanger,
yeah.
Who was there.
Who I fought that year, too.
Yeah, and that's what he was there for.
Yeah, he was there to fight. Like, I fought him that year.
Quad City had like 11, 20-goal scorers,
and then
Pascual Boulanger, who had one point.
That guy was that guy was picking on me that night. I'll never forget. And I said, okay, well, I'm done having this happen to me. But anyway, so I fought him.
So we go through our 14 shooters. The shootout is tied 1-1.
Yep.
Paul Nichols from Chilliwack, B.C.,
yep.
It scored. Faulkner scored for Quad City. Yeah,
Andy Faulkner.
Andy Faulkner.
You're right. Yep.
So we don't have anybody who hasn't shot.
So Cam calls over the referee, who I think was Norquay.
Yeah.
I think it was Norquay.
Yeah.
And Norquay says, you just go through your roster again. He says, do I have to use the same order? So I was standing right there. So I'm sitting on the bench. Cam is actually leaning on my shoulder going, hey, what do I do now? I got no one left. He says, have you gone through everybody? Yeah, I've gone through everybody. Well, then you just go again. He goes, in the same order? He goes, no, you just start over. Pick anybody you want. He goes, okay, killer, let's go. I hop over the boards. From on ice, when I hopped over the boards, I can hear their coach, John Anderson, yelling. He is banging the door. He's banging the glass. He's about to throw sticks. He calls an arc way over, and I'm now back at the bench, and I'm just kind of leaning up against the bench, and he is going crazy. They have to use the same order. They have to use the same order. Or he's like, I don't know what to do here, but I'm telling you, they don't have to. I'm going with they don't have to use the same order. They just run through their bench again. They have to use their same order. I've gotten, and he picks up this guy. This is my guy. This is who I got left. He goes, it's not my problem. I guess you guys shouldn't know how to fight before the game started, right? So sure enough, I got to go, and the rest is history.
And Killer went in. He made his patent move to the backhand. Went backhand top shelf. On Sergei Zubakin.
And he knew I was going there, too. Yep.
Former teammate.
He knew I was going there.
So it's 2-1 us, and Pasco Belanger nearly trips coming off the bench.
Oh, God, wasn't that
nearly terrible. Trips over his own blue line.
Wasn't that
nearly
amazing?
Nearly trips over the
red line. Oh, my God. In front of 10,000 people.
Lumbers down the ice, and from above the circles, I think, he just wound up and
shot.
Rips a slap shot, and it's like 15 feet over the
terrible.
Net, makes a big noise off the glass, game over.
So that's the only time in my career, other than the Flint games, I was scared every single night leaving the ice. That was the only time in my career where I actually was ducking pennies. They were throwing stuff, spitting. They were so mad in that building.
I wish we had more time, but I got like 5 seconds here and I got to go to a break because there was more that happened in that game that was fun, because that was the stick measurement game too. That's how we got it tied up and into shootout in the first
place.
Wasn't
that fun?
We'll be back. I like that one because then I can go respect my authority. All right. Well, I don't know about an authority, but we're having fun. So
we always do, don't we?
We solve all the world's problems in just a couple of hours.
It's always fun being here. It's always fun being here.
See? And I always tell you, you know, door's always open.
I get it.
You always come back in. Can you believe? Okay. Let me just throw this one by you, if I can, because I know you can hit a little bit. So does Brady, by the way. Thursday, Tigers Jays open the season.
Boy, I can't believe
they don't call
it
Sky Dome anymore, do they?
No, it's it used to be the Rogers Center. Is it the Rogers Center?
I don't even know if it's that anymore.
I'm not sure what it is.
I can guarantee you the Tigers' first series of the season will get played because they can close the dome. So no rain outs, snow outs, or ice outs for the Tigers first. Then they go to New York. I can't promise you anything there.
Well, I'll tell you what it is, because I have a meeting downtown Toronto on Wednesday, so I'm going to be right beside the Sky Dome. Person I'm having the meeting with says to me, "Well, you know where the Sky Dome is, right?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "It's right beside it." So I'll let you know what it is. I get to go back to my homeland for a couple days. So
yeah, I don't know if it's still Rogers Center.
Was Rogers
Center? That's one thing that I don't do is pay attention anymore to what the arenas are called because
you can't.
They change
you're gonna,
names.
You're going to lose track
so often.
You're going to lose track.
I miss when it was Olympia, Boston Garden,
yeah,
Chicago Stadium,
yeah,
Maple Leaf Garden,
yeah, Forum with no advertising on the boards,
yeah, you know, Madison Square Garden,
yeah, no advertising.
You,
on the boards.
You knew where you were going. The mm-hmm. Met Center, the Checker Dome,
the Big O in Montreal,
the Big O in Montreal, yeah, whatever.
Olympic Stadium,
the Big O.
Montreal
will never get baseball again.
Nope,
it's a shame.
It's a shame. They love it there. Absolutely love it there, and they'll never get it again.
Come Vancouver never got a baseball.
You know, again, when you take a look at, you know, if we're going
to. Where would you rather play, Vancouver or Seattle? I'd rather go to Vancouver.
Again, when you take a look at marketability, how does Canada not have an NFL team?
Well,
is Buffalo strong argument?
Well, yeah, because Toronto would be the obvious choice.
Or Hamilton.
To put it there. And yeah, Buffalo's not going to let that, especially the state of that franchise right now. You know, they're a long way from Thurman Thomas and those guys, Jim Kelly.
Can you believe they went to 4 Super Bowls and lost all 4 in a row?
I can. Gilbert, by the way, is the answer to the trivia question of what quarterback went to 5 consecutive Super Bowls and lost every one.
As a backup?
He was the backup for Jim Kelly for the 4, and then he went to the San Diego Chargers.
Wasn't Frank Wright the backup?
He was Humphrey's backup. Gilbert was like the third string.
So
guy.
He was on the roster.
So he was on the roster for 5
Frank Reich,
for 5 straight Super Bowl losers.
Frank Reich.
Yeah. Came in and had the comeback against Houston.
Houston.
Yeah.
When they were 45-3?
Yeah.
35-3.
So remember that name, Gail Gilbert.
That's only you, Stuck. Only you know that stuff.
So yeah, cuz Stan Humphrey's in San Diego with Bobby Ross, they went the year after Buffalo lost its 4th straight. And they got hammered by somebody.
Painful. It was painful for me I was a Buffalo fan, obviously growing up just outside.
Oh, you didn't root for your Argos?
The Argos.
Your Alouettes.
Doug Flutie. Doug Flutie was awesome in Toronto. Doug Flutie was awesome in Toronto. Unbelievable in Toronto.
It was pinball somebody or something like
pinball
that.
Pinball Clemens. Mike Clemens.
Pinball Clemens. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Or the first time I watched a Canadian football game as a kid, and we should point this out. Football at all other levels in Canada is just like it is in the United States.
Correct.
It's only that league that plays with the 55-yard line.
And the equivalent to...
And the three downs
and the equivalent that. To the NCAA. CIAU plays that too.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
They play... But high school football, I played four-down football.
Yeah. And kicking for 1 point and stuff like that.
Oh, it's crazy.
Missing field goals and
scoring
anyways.
And you can run it back out of the end zone. It's crazy.
You could win a game in the CFL 1-0. I don't know if anybody ever has.
I think they have.
You can win a game 1-0 in the CFL.
Yeah, let's not talk about the CFL. We're wasting our breath right now.
That's good stuff. I need to tell people Michigan is a 9:30 tip, by the way, Thursday, or 9:30-ish tip on Thursday against Texas Tech.
Honey, get your Michigan shirt on.
And, well, that would be if she's down in Lubbock.
8:30.
That would be 7:30, right?
8:30. No, only 1 hour. No, only 1 hour. I know
that's
it
not
well.
Central?
I know it well. It's 1 hour.
Really?
I know it very well.
Or not, I mean, not Central. That's not Mountain that far over.
No.
Texas is a big state. Texas is goes and goes.
1 hour.
Goes and goes.
It's 1 hour.
Okay. And then Michigan State's game Friday is 7 o'clock ish against LSU.
What are you thinking?
I like Michigan State in that
so
one.
So do I.
They're going, but I mean, I've said right from the start, as long as Duke is in the way, Spartans will pay.
Well, they almost weren't in the way.
Yeah, they shouldn't have been in the way.
And Mike Krzyzewski said it best. We got lucky.
Well, Taco Fall is my favorite player until he took the foul there.
Oh, what a great show that was to watch him. What a national stage. First time I got a chance to see him play. Obviously, 7'8",
seven, I believe they said, with an 8-foot wingspan.
And he was
He doesn't need to jump to dunk.
He was dominant. 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 And they deserved to win. I mean, not only did they fall apart down the... I mean, with 20 seconds left, they were up by 3 points. Zion comes in, Taco falls out, which eventually is the reason why they end up losing, because he wasn't there to block out on the free throw that Zion missed. Yeah.
Or to dunk the putback at the buzzer.
Or to dunk the putback. But, I mean, listen, they got a great look. The guy that drove the lane, drove the outside, he had a great look off the glass. How that didn't go, I don't know. And then the guy that did the follow-up and got his full hand on the ball, how that ball doesn't go in. It just wasn't meant to be. I felt terrible for him. I really did.
Yeah.
Because that would have set the path for Michigan State.
I'm not a big superstitious guy or anything like that. Duke wins all the time. Why does that ball roll off instead of just going in? The law of averages says
it's Duke.
That ball's got to go in, and you're going to lose this one time, stupid Duke.
Because it's Duke. That's what happens to winning programs. That's what happens. The best programs, that's what happens to them.
There's got to be balance, man. It's got to be balance in the universe. That ball should have gone in.
I wish it did.
And it would have messed up a lot of people's brackets, which I would have enjoyed too.
So how much time we got?
You got all the time you want. Well, you got you got like 10 minutes.
Who is Rob Gronkowski kidding right now? Who is he kidding? Does he really honestly think he's not going to play football again at 29 years old?
He's 29, but his body is telling him he's 55.
I don't care. He's not done playing football. You can tell me. He might go on a year hiatus, try acting. I mean, he's a huge personality in football. He's a huge personality in life. Forget about football. He's a polarizing figure. For him to walk away from the game that he loves and he's a competitor, I do not see. He is definitely coming back. There's no way he's played his last football game. Remember I said that. There's no way he's played his last football game.
Well, they tried to trade him to the Lions last year before the season, and he said, I'm not going. I'll retire. So he was ready to retire last year.
He's not done playing football, folks. He's going to go do his little Gronk thing.
His little Gronk
thing. He's going to go do his Gronkism somewhere. He's going to act like an absolute donkey for a year because he's got no reason not to now. Could you imagine him? Remember who he was when he had to be a good boy? When he actually had the Patriots name behind him? Where he actually had the NFL armor shield of, you better act like a normal person or we're going to control you? Imagine what he's going to do now. I can't wait to see what he's going to do. I can't wait. It's going to be an absolute gong show. This guy is going to be off the charts. Off the charts.
But here's the thing about New England is they'll draft some no-name kid, or they'll pick up some kid off somebody's practice squad, or they'll trade for some journeyman tight end, and he'll go in there and he'll catch 115 passes next season and have the year of his life. score 15 touchdowns and never be heard from again.
and I mean, if you want to put it into relative terms, like the Lions fans know, a guy like Ebron would go there and be a star.
Yeah.
He'd be a star.
Oh, he was a Pro Bowler in his first year with the Colts.
Oh, absolutely.
And we boot him out of town. Oh, what a bunch of dummies we are. But that's everybody. That's every athlete from every Detroit team.
So wait, because
here's what's going to happen. I sent this to you the other day and had you laughing. So, because the Leafs can't keep everybody. So they'll trade.
Here we go.
They'll trade Nylander to the Wings. And Nylander's still only, what, 24?
Big contract.
Yeah. Big contract for Grand Rapids to take on.
Oh, stop.
We don't give young players.
Stop
we
it.
We just don't give that stop ice time to it. Them.
It's my new favorite word, by the way.
So,
stop it.
So Nielsen and Abdelkader and Helm, you know, they've got those spots. Vanek, when we bring him back. So and then, of course, to get Nylander, we'll have to trade Zadina, and he'll get 75 his first year with the Leafs.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Play on every power play, every penalty kill. He'll lead the league in power play goals. He'll lead the league in shorthanded goals. He'll be a plus 25. He'll score 60 goals. He might even challenge Solani's. He might even challenge Solani's rookie record of 70. He might even do it.
I think he would.
But listen, if we want to have a real discussion, and we touched on the Tigers only because we mentioned their opening day,
yeah.
Detroit sports is not going to be a good place for a number of years to come.
Well, hey, we got the Pistons are going to make the playoffs this year and get knocked out in the first round. So we got that to look forward to.
Yay.
Tigers should improve by 5 games this year, maybe 10.
So what does that get them?
They'll only lose 88.
Okay.
Well, you know, the Lions.
So
everybody's going to talk like the Lions are going to make the playoffs.
Do you think the Tigers are going to be 500?
No.
Okay.
No, they're not ready for that. I mean, so much has to happen for that to happen.
Are they losing 100 games?
I don't think they're going to lose 100 games.
Because why?
Because I think their pitching is going to be better than a lot of people think.
Okay.
And
that's where I think you're wrong, but anyway.
And somebody's going to Miguel might actually be healthy until at least August this year.
He's not the Miguel Cabrera. He's lost his pop.
He's been bombing home runs left and right.
Doesn't
down
matter.
There the last couple of weeks.
Doesn't matter. I hope he can hit 30, but I don't think so.
Well, I don't know if he's going to hit 30 anymore, but if he hits 25, that's better than
the
what
bomb?
They had
did
last year.
Did you see
year.
The bomb Matuk hit the other night?
Yeah. Oh. They got a lot of wild cards. They got a lot of guys that would have, could have, should have. Like,
what's happening behind the dish? Who's catching for them?
Grayson Griner.
What happened to their stud?
They let McCann go.
Hmm.
They don't like him.
Where's he at?
I don't know if he's anywhere. I mean, he's got to be somewhere. He's too young for baseball to give up on him.
Boy, I didn't.
But think I didn't hear him catching on anywhere. Yeah, the Tigers just didn't. His deal was up, and they didn't bother with it.
Yeah, I kind of remember. You know, I haven't been versing myself in that because I'm just turning myself off to pathetic baseball. And they're pathetic. I'm sorry. And I'm a huge baseball fan.
Like I've been telling people, though, they're in that position. It's not right now, Keller. I know they're bad right now.
Oh.
But if two or three of these arms they keep telling me about are legit, if Casey Mize.
Agreed.
Manning. Burroughs, Fajardo.
That's years down the road.
Funkhauser, Perez. They're not that far away.
2 years?
Mize is ready to play right now. They're not going to let him.
Might we see him this year?
Probably at some point you will.
Middle of the season?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think they're only...
Depending on how our arms are, correct?
I think they're only 2 or 3 years away from some of these guys coming in. And let's just... If two of them are, that's all you need, Killer. With two good pitchers, you don't have losing streaks. And occasionally you get winning streaks.
Shane Green is your closer.
He won't be 2-3 years from now. Jimenez will be. yeah. Have a little faith. Have a little faith. Because
For 10 years now, I've watched a closer get paraded out to that mound that shouldn't be there.
Morris and Petrie, Verlander, Rogers. You can get there with two arms.
Oh, I agree.
And they might have more than two.
But you got to remember, we had the best arms in baseball at one time.
Yeah. Well, that's how you win in baseball, is with the arms.
We had the best starting arms in baseball and the worst pen in the history of baseball.
Yeah. Well, that's been an ongoing problem. But well, another ongoing problem, though.
How do you not fix that? How is it possible you and I are still having the conversation about we don't have a guy in the pen that we can rely on? Forget about innings 6, 7, and 8, which in today's baseball is everything. The days of a starter religiously going into the seventh inning are over.
Yeah, that's long gone.
Okay.
You got teams now that seriously, like, look what Tampa Bay does. They start a reliever, and he pitches the first inning, and then they bring somebody in for the second, and then they might have a middle guy that pitches 2 or 3 innings so that they don't have to burn everybody in the bullpen out. But they basically, they call it bullpen day, and instead of using a starting pitcher, they pitch 9 innings with like 6 relievers.
Can you believe that? I can't believe it.
And they nearly like they did that to the Tigers and like one hit them.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. You and I are having that conversation today.
Look at the guys though that the Tigers had that they threw, like Fernando Rodney. Look at all the saves Fernando Rodney has piled up in his career and
with his hat that drove me nuts
and it still does.
No,
the Tigers.
He was in an All Star game.
The Tigers had that game. A lot of people had that guy, and a lot of people forget they got rid of him after he had like a 38 save season. He had just come to form. They went all those years of struggling with him. You know, the three, four years, and then bang, he finally comes to form, and they get rid of him.
Todd Jones. Ugh.
Yeah. But again, I put part of that on the Ilitches.
I agree.
And that loyalist.
I love you. Yep.
You know, you did good for us once. You did something for us once, yep. So you're here for life.
I agree.
Justin Abdelkader had a puck hit him in the shin and go in a Stanley Cup playoff game that we still lost, I think. And he's here for life.
Oh, he's here for
life. Oh, Muskegon boy.
He's here for life.
Great story.
DeKaiser, here for life. Ugh. Michigan boy. Ugh. Whatever. But I mean, hey, listen, and I wish Brady was here, but he's not. And again, we can talk about stuff, and hopefully I'll come back sometime this week and we can keep talking. But, you know, Matthew Stafford, one of the highest paid players in the National Football League, is not rated in the top 100 in NFL football players.
Are you surprised by
that?
No,
I'm not.
I actually have been kind of grumbling about that. Again, am I saying he's a bad quarterback? No.
He's bad here.
But I'm saying he's not the guy that's going to win here.
Not here.
He's not going to win here. But they don't have – they're like the Red Wings in goal, where they're forced to bring back Jimmy Howard because they don't have anything ready. Lions don't have any of them. What are you going to replace him with?
Nobody.
They got nothing. And what do you think the reaction is going to be if at number 5 or wherever that – where are they? Number 5 or number 6?
Yep.
They draft a quarterback.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah. They have other needs and – They'll dink and dunk their way into a first-round playoff game and everybody will think that it's
great. Is Murray going to be there when the Lions pick?
I don't know who's going to be there.
I don't either. But if Murray's there, I'm taking him.
Yeah, but you're a different person than Martha.
Yeah, I don't have a horse in the race. It's pretty easy for me to say that.
It is unfortunate, but it is time to say goodbye.
Is it time?
It is time to say goodbye. So, say goodbye.
Good to see you. Goodbye.
And come back soon.
I will.
Don't be a stranger.
I will.
I'll be back tomorrow.